The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. After Jesus had spoken all these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave to me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's just be honest. That was one of the readings where it would be so easy to just kind of tune out. Jesus sounds like he's talking in circles. And this is coming from me, who never met a run-on sentence I didn't like. And you might get the idea at the end of it, he's talking about something about unity and togetherness, and all that philosophical wandering just to end up with, can't we all just get along? Doesn't that sound kind of wimpy or something? Well, it could be kind of wimpy. If togetherness means some sort of mushy compromising for the sake of getting along at all costs, anyone who rocks the boat is the bad guy. If we understand being one to mean that we can't ever dare to take risks that might possibly offend somebody else, so we end up mouthing nothing but empty phrases and really doing nothing at all of substance. I think that's sometimes the corner that churches paint themselves into, but I don't think that's us, and I know that's not Jesus. Jesus did not die so that his people could tie ourselves in knots and sing a meaningless kumbaya. Despite all the wordiness here, what Jesus is talking about is the glory of God. The burning, beautiful, life-giving light that surrounds the heavenly throne and shines into our world to put an end to sin and death. In this prayer, Jesus is asking his Father that we might become a community of life and joy and truth in a world of darkness and lies and fears. Jesus died, rose again, and ascended into heaven so that we could be shaped into the leading edge, the vanguard of his kingdom, breaking into this world to make all things new. See, these words from Jesus are about you and me and all of us together no longer being individual bits on our own, but instead being reforged together into a living instrument. And at the risk of sounding too dramatic, a living instrument for Jesus' merciful battle against pain and brokenness and injustice in all the world. Now that might just be a big deal. That might be worth getting up and going for. Now I want to make the rubber hit the road here in a very concrete way. You've probably all heard about what happened last week with the shootings in California, the college students. That was a symptom of a sick culture. Now, yes, that guy was profoundly mentally ill. But his personal sickness expressed itself through a societal sickness. He thought he had the right to cheap, easy hookups. He thought if he could get his hands on lots of easy money, he'd be irresistible. In his mind, women weren't people, but objects. And he thought his own worth depended on being seen with an attractive enough blonde on his arm. And when this guy couldn't get that, life was no longer worth living to him, and other human beings had to pay the price. Now, these words this morning, they're for everyone, but they are especially for the guys here. The young men, the dads, the grandfathers, the role models. Now, I'm not excluding anyone here, women. Jesus is for everyone. But guys, something's got to change. We've got to do better than that. We've got to teach our sons and our grandsons better than that. That guy might have been psychologically ill, but I think we've all got to face the hard truth that his thoughts were not quite so far out of line with a lot of our so-called culture's thinking about money and women and bodies and violence. And friends, it's poison. It is literally deadly for women, and it is spiritually deadly for men. Jesus calls it sin. And he always actively fights against sin. Not with violence, never with violence, but with the power of real love that creates safety and healing. With the power of real strength that does not use or demean others, but blesses them and builds them up. Now, what does all this have to do with Christ's prayer for unity? When Jesus says that they may be one, as he and the Father are one, he's talking about a new way for human beings to be engaged and connected with each other. Not by trying to possess or dominate, not by gender-based power plays, but by giving ourselves away to and for each other. If we're ever going to change a culture that is toxic both to masculinity and to femininity, we need to grow as a church a Jesus-shaped culture that says women are not objects to control, but that women are expressions of divine artwork filled with infinite dignity and worth and value. We need to grow a culture in the church that teaches boys and men that real strength isn't violence, Real strength is protecting the vulnerable, resisting temptations to evil, and sacrificing for the sake of others. We need to tell and we need to show with our lives, young men, that your worth does not come from arm candy or cheap pseudo-relationships. Your worth, whoever you are, whatever your story is, your worth comes from the fact that Jesus took on evil and died on the cross for you. Life isn't about how much whatever you can get. It's about how much you can give yourself away to make a positive difference for the people around you. We need to realize that the heart of Jesus breaks when women feel unsafe, objectified, or silenced. We need to say loud and clear that the one who is crucified for us wants an end to all kinds of abuse for everyone. And friends, the world's got all sorts of answers to this. A lot of those answers are just angry. A lot of those answers are destructive. A lot of those answers are pride-filled. The kind of culture I'm talking about can only start at the cross. See, that's where Jesus reveals what real power is. The power of mercy and love. And it's also where Jesus uses his real power to forgive all of our sins. For the ways that our world has commodified the human body and cheapened commitment and devotion. For the ways in which the church, yes, the church, has been silent when women are demeaned, pushed to the side. The ways in which our world shames women but then practically encourages men to behave in ways that are destructive to souls, to relationships, to dignity. This isn't fun to talk about. I didn't want to get up here and talk about this stuff. But you see, at the cross, all our shame dies. At the cross, all our guilt is washed clean. At the cross, the wounds of our souls can be bound up in God's infinite grace and peace. Jesus came to give healing to the survivor of abuse and to the perpetrator of abuse. In his life, in his ministry, he affirmed the value of women and showed all people, women and men, that service and faith are the real measures of strength. That's real life. And Jesus wants to create that kind of culture in the church, when women and men can engage as equals. When we invest in our boys and teach and demonstrate to them how to respect all people, when our girls have a community that shows them that they don't ever have to settle for less. Can you tell this kind of stuck in my craw? The sad reality is, we live in a culture where women often feel unsafe and guys are fed a load of lies about what makes you a real man. So what if we gathered at the cross and let ourselves be formed into a Jesus-shaped community? What if we were knit together, women and men, by God's love? What difference, what impact could we make in the lives of others? I believe, I am convinced, that only Christ's power can heal the wounds in individuals and in our culture. And what happened last week in California only shows that our culture is dying for Jesus. May his love make us all an instrument of his kingdom that comes to women and to men together in the love of God. And will somebody please give me an amen?
Amen. Amen.